Welcome to Circulus. I am your host, Aaron, sometimes called Crash, and I will be your DM for this evening. With us are a merry band of adventurers, some of them less merry than others. We're going to start with the least merry of all of them, Tom. Tom, who are you playing today?
I'm playing the very angry punk harem Darkstone, gnome barbarian extraordinaire.
Okay, and how can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Balthra, that's B-O-L-T-H-R-A.
Wonderful. And let's move on to Chris. Chris, who are you playing and where can we find you?
I'm playing Vex Saran, the half-elf, half-elf ranger. I forgot what I was actually playing there. And you can find me on Twitter at Akari_Mag or on the Azeroth Coast to Coast podcast.
And for a while, I thought you were about to say half-elf gnome, and that would be a really strange combination. I really don't want to imagine that anymore. Let's move on to Eric. Eric, who are you playing, and where can we find you?
I am Obey Metalcaster. I am a dwarf cleric who's quite awesome. I am a part of the Vote to Kick podcast at votetokick.com, and you can find me on Twitter at SYNRGY007.
Okay, and next up we have Matt, who I'm actually not sure if you have any social media to plug, but never mind about that. Matt, who are you playing?
I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, human wizard, and no, I do not. I pretty much, I'm a parent of two kids, one who just won a 4-year scholarship to a local university.
Woohoo!
Hurrah!
As an educator, that warms my cold, dead middle school teaching heart. Okay, and last but not least, certainly not least, because he apparently has started a cult as of the last episode, we have Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
I am Fenix with completely no last name. I am a dragonborn paladin.
And he keeps saying he has no last name, but wait until I have his dad show up in a campaign and say all four of Fenix's names. You know how the more names that a parent says, the more trouble you're in?
The joys of being from a different world. You don't have to worry about your estranged elven father showing up.
If I would have a last name, I'd be Fenix Bloodborne.
That you see, that's what Vex thinks.
Oh, God.
But if he can come to this world, so can others.
Stop giving the DM ideas.
I know, right? It's terrible.
Five dragons appear from around us.
Meanwhile, I got a wonderful message on Twitter from Tom giving me ideas for what will happen during Vex's next crit fail.
Oh, good.
So I appreciate I lose that. An eye.
You are so welcome.
I lose an eye.
Yeah,
it's all fun and games till someone loses an eye. Then it's just fun.
Actually, I was going to have it hit him in the knee.
Oh, you're the worst.
I am the DM.
That's why you're the worst.
Speaking of the worst, where we ended our last session, you were in the middle of a kobold clan's settlement in a cave system, which has a wonderful underground river that comes down from a waterfall into a pool and goes through a very rapid river through the complex and into a whirlpool. The whole thing is very scenic, and there'd probably be tours if it wasn't, you know, inhabited by a clan of kobolds. And formerly inhabited by a scary scarecrow guy who apparently got flushed after being set on fire.
Squirrely!
And pretty much everyone was okay with this except for the straw man, but he didn't count.
I am not okay that the fire didn't finish its job.
I'm not okay that two rocks I threw at him didn't do much.
Yeah, because me and Matt both fired it.
I hit it with...
You didn't hit it with anything. Harsh language was about all you used.
If the majority of the damage wasn't fire, and if it hadn't been a construct to begin with, it would have been bloodied. I will say that. but there was no blood to be found.
We must use more fire.
Okay, so at this point, like right when we ended the session last time, Fenix was getting the most adorable of hugs from the littlest of kobolds named Meepo. And the other kobolds are, some of them are really happy, some of them are confused. I believe the phrase I used last week was, what do you do when mommy and daddy are fighting? But there is a definite winner here. And that would be Fenix and his followers, because clearly the rest of the party members would be following Fenix. He is the greatest of them all.
Got that right.
What would the party like to do at this point?
Can I just say, where's the gnome?
Untie Punk. We didn't leave him very far, did we?
He was in the same room where you had been imprisoned in the cages without doors. He was just tied to the wall upside down, as opposed to placed in a cage.
Oh, we forgot the gnome. Let's go untie the...
Well, we didn't get very far out of this room, did we? Or did we?
I think we went down the cave.
Yes, you went down a very short hallway to a bridge, and Fenix...
Oh, right, the bridge.
Yeah, Fenix had come the other way originally. On the other side of that bridge was their sleeping area and where they have their nests and their eggs. But the party didn't get that far before the scarecrow...
intervened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go back down the passageway to where the cages were. By the way, the three dwarves are kind of following you around at this point, because it's still a significant number of kobolds, and these dwarves don't seem to really appreciate that there's a lot of kobolds here, considering this is the species that pretty much wiped out Usan. But they're following your lead because... the kobolds seem to be following you also. And you go back to that room and you see Ponk still hanging around. He also has a gag in his mouth similar to what you had when you woke up last week, during last week's session. And there's a lot of anger
in his
eyes.
Woke up and take off the gag.
So your gag has been removed. You are now free to speak.
And I just said to you, hi, buddy. How you doing?
He spits at him. You left me here.
Yeah. We did that as I wipe away the spit. And then I untie him and get him down.
Okay, Punk, you are now free.
Yes, I am.
Sorry.
And there's about 20 kobolds directly behind you, all just sort of like staring at you. Some of them like holding their tail and their paws, sort of looking down.
Why are they still alive?
Because they were essentially being controlled by an evil scarecrow, and they're actually not that bad.
They think the dragonborn's a god.
That too. That's helpful.
Tell that to the dwarves they killed.
We have dead dwarves? I thought we just had captured dwarves.
Well, the town of Husan is wiped
the rest
out.
Of the town.
Oh, right.
Meepo
plus we have
takes
the
this
weapons
moment.
And there's 20 of them.
Meepo takes this moment to speak up. Oh, we didn't kill the dwarves.
Who did?
Those were other kobold clans.
There's multiple clans.
Yeah, ours is kind of small. Especially after the mouths ate a lot of us and our chieftain. And we only went to the dwarf place because we were trying to find food. Because every time we try to get mushrooms, more of us get eaten.
Obame, how do you feel?
Well, she did help us with the straw man. And after we got to know them just a little bit more. They weren't vicious toward us whatsoever after Mr. Fenix showed his dragonness. So I think they'll be okay. Let's keep them on a short
with kobolds.
Let's keep them on a short leash.
Meatball.
Either them or me.
It's a phrase, honey.
I don't want to wear a leash.
Look, Punk. I know you're not that very. I apologize for keeping you up like that, but we were trying to get the straw man as quick as possible. However, on this particular scenario, let's not be too hasty.
Meeple, you said that there's multiple tribes. How many?
She starts counting on her fingers. Then she starts counting on her toes.
Oh, a lot. Okay.
And then she goes over to another kobold and counts their fingers. And says, I think I lost count.
Okay.
The rest of us came in with clothing, armor, weapons, and things. Do you perhaps know where those items are now, Meepo?
Oh, yeah, the straw man took them.
And where did he put them?
Right over here. And she leads you
to...
Basically, it's the far side of the same cavern. Over where you saw the fire in the last episode, but you couldn't make out any details.
Right.
When you go over there, this looks like it's the main area where they would prepare food. There is a large cauldron, because why wouldn't there be, that apparently is cooking some mushroom stew of some sort. And there is a pile of stuff in one corner that includes all of your gear. Your gear is pretty much at the top of the pile.
Wonderful.
Now this particular room... is the north western part. Oh, you don't know northwest, you south from here, because you don't have compasses and it's underground. But never mind about that. I said it already. It is one corner of the chamber. If you turned 90 degrees from where you came, you see a bunch of barricades with spears and spikes that are pointing away from this room.
Punk picks up the can opener, kind of just smacks it against his hand a couple times.
Several kobolds run away.
Good.
Punk, be good.
Don't tell me how to feel.
I'm not saying don't feel that way, just don't express it.
I will grab my spellbook, my robes, and my wand.
Okay, they did not actually take your robes from you.
I thought we were in undergarments or something, or was that just the ones in armor?
It
was just like
armor.
My leathers and stuff like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So definitely want to grab the spell book and the wand then.
Okay, so any gear that you had on you it was in this pile. Obane, that includes your ring.
Okay, very good. I'll get all of it and put everything back on.
Okay, and as you gather up all of your stuff, there's more there underneath your stuff.
Ooh, extra.
Can I have a look?
Let's check this out.
Okay.
Shall we take a few minutes and detect for magical auras?
Why not?
Go for it.
All right.
Okay.
Do you want me to make an arcana check for any magical auras?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is one thing I'm good at.
I think you're good at several things, including setting various things on fire.
Yeah, or freezing them, in case we need any freeze-dried kobolds.
mental note, do not get in a snowball fight with Ari.
Yeah, very bad. All right, we have a total of a 23 on the Arcana check.
Yay!
Okay, so you find three different items that are giving off an aura. You find a six-sided die, a cloak, and I mean, it's kind of obvious when you looked at it. You're surprised that you had to cast a ritual to figure it out, but a wand.
Okay. I do not have any pearls upon me to cast Identify, so we may have to wait for those till we can get somewhere else. Unless they happen to have any pearls laying around.
You could also use a short rest to attune to any of these items if you so wished.
Yeah, that would be true. That, although if they have curses on them, which I doubt, that could end up badly.
I would like to throw on the cloak and sit down.
Okay.
The toppings are also cursed.
They have MSG. That's bad.
That's bad.
The kobolds all serve you some yogurt.
That's good.
It turns out the kobolds had their switch set to evil, which is why they were attacking all the dwarves in the first place.
That's bad.
And it all set to evil.
Oh, gone are the days when the Simpsons were funny and good.
I know.
Any armor, anything around here for Fenix or I?
Besides your own?
Besides our own, yeah.
Okay, so for the most part, now, these three things that you found were of fairly good shape, but most of it is like basic traveling gear.
Sure.
Nobody asked you, Cat. Sorry.
That you do find a small cat. it promptly climbs up on the top shelf and knocks everything off of it.
As they should.
Then looks down at you as if to blame you for its action.
Mine is not happy with me.
There's some pickaxes in the pile that the dwarves take. Two of the dwarves take pickaxes. The third one, a female dwarf, does not pick up any weapons of any kind. Ponk and Obane, these dwarves look very familiar to you, but you don't think you've ever seen them before. It's sort of like a deja vu type thing. It's kind of like, have you ever seen the movie Maverick?
Yeah.
The bank robbery scene?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Where you're just looking at each other going, no. It's that scene, pretty much.
Kind of an inner reflection type of familiarity.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And I should say that the dwarves introduce themselves. There's an older one. Who calls himself Montgomery. And the two younger ones are Bertha and Vassal. And they were all in Husan during the attack.
Ponk just nods at him.
Montgomery actually introduces himself as a member of the Stonemasons.
Ari will greet him in Dwarvish. Good sir, the kobolds seem to be taking the position that they are not the ones who attacked Husan. I don't know enough about kobolds. Is there any way to tell if they're lying to us about this, or... you know, is there any way to prove that what she states is true, that they attacked, you know, a different clan attacked you or attacked Husan?
Lad, I don't even know what a kobold is.
Very well, then.
One of the other dwarves points at the kobolds running around. I think he means those things.
Yeah. They're stating, he'll point them out. They're stating that they are not the ones that attacked Husan.
Specifically their tribe. They're saying it tribe. Was the kobolds, but not their tribe.
He shrugs. I can't tell them apart. They all look alike to me.
Okay.
Racist.
Racist.
Also true, but...
you do start to get the sense that you can tell some of them apart. At this point... mostly because you've been here long enough that you've seen several of them doing different tasks. Some of them have slightly different clothing. They all appear to be wearing necklaces with teeth on them. From the looks of the teeth, they look like they're kobold teeth or similar to kobold teeth. They do not look like human or elf or dwarf teeth.
This is good.
Tom, I hate you for posting that in chat. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate our friendship, but I also hate you.
Shall we take a short rest and figure out what these do?
With the scarecrow gone, I see no reason not to, but we should remain alert in case he tries to return with allies.
Oh, that's what Shepard's for. Literally,
scarecrow
is literally what he does.
Do you want to go?
Scarecrow? He's made of sticks. You can have Shepard play fetch.
No, I mean, we can take a rest while Shepard stays alert. That's literally a feat he has.
Okay. And a short rest doesn't mean you have to actually take a nap. You just can't be, like, doing any heavy lifting or anything.
No.
Okay. I'm not tired. I don't want to lay down.
Your arms and legs feel kind of strained. You are appreciating the fact that you are no longer a spread eagle against a wall upside down.
Might be a little fatigued from that. I know I would be.
Who is this scarecrow?
We don't. He didn't really give us a name, did he?
He did.
No,
you're assuming it's a he.
Yeah.
Don't assume his gender. So.
Technically, scarecrows are genderless.
Tis but a thing.
It just tried to kill us.
Is this the same one that Fenix and I saw?
How many of these could? Yeah. Sorry.
You don't know for sure. Although you do know that there was a scarecrow that you saw after you got out of the Goblin Warrens that was pretty much crit hit by the wolf that you freed in the Goblin Warrens.
Okay.
I'm betting he's the same guy, but whether or not it's the same one you guys saw. Well, you guys saw that outside that farmhouse, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, anyone who cares to give me an Arcana check.
Urge to kill rising. Natural 20.
22.
Okay, so both of you realize that if scarecrows are constructs and someone's figured out how to make one, there's not really much stopping someone from making more.
Yeah, they can make more. Okay.
Right.
At this point, Shepard comes over carrying Meepo by her collar. Shirt collar, not she's not wearing like a you get the idea.
I was gonna say.
And Shepard just like walks over and sits down in front of Vex. Meepo's feet are not touching the ground because she's young for a kobold, and she just yells out, "I'm a stick."
Shepard, put her down.
I have a kind of a follow-up question. To create a scarecrow, and I think I might have asked this before, is it ritual magic kind of thing? Like something you takes days, hours, weeks, whatever to create?
You don't know the exact
process
for it. Yeah. Your best guess, especially with your training as a wizard, is that it would be something vaguely similar to that of creating golems.
Okay.
Although
makes some sense.
With your high roll, I will say that you are aware that part of the act of creating a scarecrow involves imbuing it with the soul of an evil creature. Traditionally, some type of devil or fiend, but any evil creature will do in a pinch.
Nice. So it has the creature, devil, fiend, whatever, is summoned into it, or does the, like, is its physical form slain and then the evil essence drained and created into the scarecrow?
How the soul is gathered, you don't know, but it does take a soul to power it.
Okay. This is not something, obviously, that I can handle yet. What about, just as an example, would someone of Idris, Lord Idris, either one of them, actually, be capable of handling or doing?
From your time with both of the Lord Idris's, you have the sense that anything they would really feel inclined to do, they could probably do.
Okay.
But likewise, you don't think that either of them would be motivated to do something like this.
Yeah. This involves, at least from my end, it seems like it involves a heavy dose of necromancy. And that is not a field that a lot of people tend to specialize in.
And both of the Idrises were involved with studying the undead curse, so they would have,
right. they would have a great
understanding of it.
Right.
But in your days helping them with research, they never actually cast any spells that were themselves necromantic in nature.
Right. So they would understand the underlying principles, but they wouldn't have the practical expertise.
That's your take on it, but yeah. Additionally, they're a high enough level that if they were given the spell, they could do it.
Yeah, okay. All right, I just wanted to get that squared away so he knows what he knows.
All right. Meepo, while you're resting, is more than eager to let you know about the entire clan's history, which starts off kind of vague with a lot of varies. A very, 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 very long time ago, which you kind of get the understanding is if she uses three varies, that might mean last Tuesday. Four varies might mean 10 generations ago. However, a kobold is considered to be an adult at year 6, so generations aren't very, very long for kobolds to begin with. But the kobolds know they're not from here. When they got here, lots of bad things started killing them off, which wasn't fun. But then the Great One came and rescued them and led them to a land that was away from sunlight, which was nice. Meepo has no idea what sunlight is, but she was told it was bad. So clearly it was. She thinks it's some type of creature at this point. And the Great One led them to a place where there was plenty of food and plenty of room for them to grow, and the tribes, well, the clans rather, sort of split off as they got larger and spread out. About maybe a year ago, which is like 3.5 varies for very long ago, things started to get a little worse for the clans, and to help guide them and make things better, the Great One sent its representatives to each of the clans. And the representatives vary. Some clans got some things, some clans got other things. This clan got a scarecrow, who they all refer to as the Straw Man. Shortly after the Straw Man arrived, things got a bit worse. The mouths appeared and started giving them problems, where their clan used to be quite large. It was about 50 kobolds. Now they're down to about 20. Most of that is from kobolds being eaten by the mouths. Some of them were punished for disobedience. Normally, the oldest kobold is the one that becomes the clan chieftain. After the chieftain was eaten by the mouths, the second oldest, who Meepo refers to as her father, which is Vex, give me a survival check. And it's about humanoids, so you have advantage.
Yay. Oh, I'm looking at Shepherd's stats. Twenty.
Okay, well, kobolds don't really know who their mom and dad are. Their eggs are communal, and they don't usually take an effort to see which parent bred them or whatever. Matter of fact, Kobolds can change gender. If there's a whole bunch of men or a whole bunch of women in a kobold clan, some of them will change gender so it evens out. So it's really arbitrary. Yes, thank you, Eclipse. I appreciate that. So it's really weird that Meeple keeps referring to one of the kobolds as her dad. You have no idea why she's doing that. Her dad was second oldest. And he got ripped apart because he tried to argue that with the mouths continuously eating kobolds that tried to get mushrooms from their mushroom farm, maybe they should go somewhere else. The scarecrow didn't want them to, so he ripped her dad to shreds.
While she's explaining all this to us, can I do an insight check on her?
Sure.
Uh, 19.
Okay. You believe that she is saying the truth as she sees it.
Sure.
You also believe that the Scarecrow was doing its best to make sure these kobolds got wiped out. That's not how Meepo is seeing it, but that's how you see it.
Okay.
Right, and then with the attacks on the dwarven settlements, ostensibly to get more supplies and stop these invaders who are making things bad. That was the story that they were given. Some members of this particular clan went in after the initial assault to see if they could scrounge up food, because getting food from a wiped out dwarven settlement before it gets blown up with explosive oils seemed like a safer thing to do. But in the process, they found a bunch of you in a trap. And they found some kobolds from another clan that had just taken down a few other dwarves. And they're like, hey, you need that? And they had the idea that they were going to send you against the mouths. Then, of course, they saw Fenix. And they're like, oh, he looks really cool. He must be a great one. And the rest is history.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm still taking notes.
So, guys, we have a decision to make.
Well, before we... I'm assuming we've had our short rest.
That story took long enough, especially with the various digressions that Meepo had. For it to have been a short rest, I mean, if I can speak properly and not speak like Elmer Fudd. Now, Vex, you put on the cloak, right?
Yep.
Okay, it is a cloak of billowing.
Ooh, okay.
Straight from the wonderful new rule book that's out, Xanthar's Guide to Everything. Pick yours up now at your local gaming store.
I skimmed that.
Who had the six-sided die? Anyone?
I was going to take a wand.
Okay. So you have the wand. It is a wand of smiles.
Wand of smiles.
Ponk or Fenix, you want the six-sided die?
I'm good.
No.
I'll take the six-sided die.
Okay, the six-sided die is a mimic.
Woohoo!
No, it is not.
Let's get her done. Roll initiative.
It's an awfully small mimic.
Oh, dude, that's nothing.
We were talking earlier about how in the in a recent charity stream, there was a boat mimic. But never mind about that. It is a charlatan's die. Whenever you roll the six-sided die, you can control which number it rolls.
Woo-hoo! Oh, you cheat. I love it.
Some role-playing right there.
The wand of billowing, Vex. You already know what that is, I'm sure.
I'm trying to find it in the Xanthar's. I'm trying to find it.
It is on page 136. While wearing this cloak, you can use a bonus action to make it billow dramatically. But the true winner of this awarding of items is Ari. Ari, you have a one of smiles.
Smiles. I attempted to use it upon a certain unfriendly gnome.
This wand has three charges.
Prepare to roll initiative, then.
I said tempted. I did not yet give in to such temptation.
I wish you gave in to such temptations. That would be so funny.
Okay. So those are your magical items. And the party needs to make a choice about what the party's going to do.
I'm curious about the mouths thing that Meepo keeps talking about.
Okay, well, it's like a mouth with a lot of other mouths, and it eats you.
Does that description fit anything that I might recall of having read about?
You may give me an arcana or history check. Your choice. All right.
Well, I'm better with the Arcana by 2, so let's give that a whirl. And that is a 15 on the die, which goes to a 23.
Okay, so there is a type of aberration that you've heard of once or twice, mostly in the kind of stories that slightly older students at university will tell the new ones. That is basically a bunch of mouths put together that eats things. It is usually referred to as a gibbering mouther.
Yeah. Player knew, I just wanted to get it on record.
I imagine, since it's a fairly common, horrible thing to throw at you.
Yes. Okay. So I will relay this information to the rest of the party. I believe this is a rather dangerous thing to be upon our world.
If you had to rate the difficulty, the challenge, if you were, of this thing,
really?
on a scale from 1/8 to 25, you would rate it around a 2.
Oh, okay. So it's not that difficult, but it is still an aberration upon our world and should probably be expunged.
I get to shoot things.
I would hope you could shoot it. I have no idea. I've only heard myths about it.
If I get to hit things and make them bleed, I'll do it.
I'm not even sure it bleeds.
Is this something we want to investigate?
I think it's worthy investigation, simply because I can, if for nothing else, we get to see one.
As you're discussing this, Meepo does her best to make puppy dog eyes. She's been learning from Shepard. And she looks at Vex in particular and says, could you please take care of the mouse?
Oh, we're gonna kill the mouse, Tony. You don't have to do the puppy dog thing.
She gives you a hug.
All right. Do we have a location? Back. Do we know where Meepo? Do we know where? Do you know where these are? Can you lead us to them?
She points at the barricades.
I don't like barricades.
And now I have a song from Les Mis in my head. Pretty much. So are you going to wait one day more?
You're the worst.
I know. I can't help it. My roommate in college was a theater major.
Oh, dude, I'm gay. I love musicals. So you're still the worst.
Now, as far as the barricades are concerned, can we have a description of those?
They're basically like detritus and small rocks and stuff piled up with spears, javelins, and sharpened sticks facing away from you. So it would make it difficult for something to come towards you over the barricade, but you could very easily climb over them the other way.
All right, guys. How are you guys looking as far as spells and stuff like that? Do we make take a longer rest, or do you just want to go ahead and go now?
I've used, I think, a second level spell because we essentially rested while we were strung up in the cage, and since then I've only cast one second level spell.
Yeah,
that was the burning hands.
You wiped out the scarecrow in one round.
Yeah, I've only used Hunter's Mark once, so I've still got two spell slots left.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I used Dragon Breath.
How long does that take to come back?
Long rest.
Long rest.
Long rest.
I think we'll be fine without it, to be honest.
I can use my Arcane Recovery to get back the second level spell I used since we short rested. So I would be at full spell slots. I'm good to go.
I have arrows. I'm good to go.
No, you get yours back after a short rest, so you have it back.
I have my Dragonborn Breath back?
Yep.
Hey!
Alright, very good.
And then Fenix blows his Dragon Breath again because he wants to impress the They're all just like, ooh, and they clap.
I was tempted.
Alright, very good. Let's get her done.
Okay. The kobolds show you how to move the barricades to make a gap for you to go through, because the barricades are blocking off their primary source of food. So they did make it so that they could go in and out. They just didn't want anything other than them to be coming back the other way.
How dark is this corridor?
This corridor is just, it's not even a corridor. It opens up into a larger cave that's just full of mushrooms of varying heights, some of them as tall as you.
Okay.
And it's very similar to the other caves here, where there's this glowing moss on the walls that, again, you wouldn't want to read by this light, but you can make out things.
So I can feel dark vision from...
You're not benefiting from dark vision here, but you don't need dark vision here.
Okay.
You have the idea that before they fell on hard times, they cultivated this moss in this area specifically, so it would be kind of easy to see their way around. Because some mushrooms, you need to be able to tell what color they are before you figure out if you're going to eat them or not.
Fair.
Okay, so you all go into this cave. It's sort of shaped like a giant letter C, and you entered in on one of the end parts of the letter. And it sort of curves around up again towards... Now, the rest of you haven't been in this room, but Fenix sort of gets the idea that if you continued all the way through this cave, you'd get to the barricade that he saw in the throne room where he woke up. And like I said, there's varying mushrooms all over the place. There is a passageway on one far end that has some steps carved into it that leads up into the darkness. And there's creepy horror music playing somewhere in the background, you don't know from where. One guy with a cello is just going dead and
okay.
What do you think, Vex? This is where we hit it.
Right, do I see anything that looks like or sounds like what Ari described?
Would you like to try to track something?
Yes. Sure. I'll see if I can I'll see if I can track. I obviously I've never seen the thing that Arya's described before, so I wouldn't know what tracks it's left. What tracks it would leave.
Oh. Give me a roll.
Okay. So that's just a survival roll, and it's not a humanoid, so it's just a flat roll. That's a 14, not great.
Okay, so there's a lot of kobold tracks in the soft ground in this area. It's not hard stone, because they've been fertilizing the mushrooms as much as they can. Most of the tracks go to the nearest mushrooms to the barricades and then back away again, but some of them go further in, and none of those come back, and all the ones that go further in tend to go towards that stair.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
What do you think, Vex?
We should probably head towards that stair, I would assume.
All right, very good. Oh, Fenix! Fenix!
Yes?
You want to go ahead of there, everybody?
Yeah.
And I'm just behind him with an arrow notched in the bow, ready to just release it the first opportunity.
Okay, so as you near the top of the stairs, Vex, you become aware of something.
Okay.
You've had friend cast on you.
Oh.
And Meepo, it has now worn off.
Little son of a...
Technically daughter.
I just say that out loud, Meepo, you son of a... I'm gonna murder her. That little son of a... charmed me.
To be fair, you did it first.
I did it first. Oh, we were going here anyway. She didn't have to do that. Oh,
and she was going
to give her a stern.
Anyway. You didn't have to do that.
I didn't know that. I'm giving her a stern talking to when I get back.
Maybe with some arrows?
Possibly with some wolf teeth as well.
Okay, so you go up to the top of the stairs.
Can I bless Fenix?
You can bless anything you want.
I'm blessing you, Fenix. I'm blessing Vex, and I'm blessing Punk.
You're going to bless the trees. You're going to bless the... Wait, no, that's Robin Hood. Name.
What is blessed?
1d4 to attack rolls.
Yep, cool.
And saving throws.
Oh, dappy dozer.
I should probably uncover my dice tray because I have rule books on top of it. All right, so you get to the top and it opens up into a smallish cave with passageways that branch off in two different directions. This cave is almost making like a T shape.
I hate T shapes.
Left hand path.
Let's go left.
Let us take the bend sinister.
I like that reference, thank you. I see what you did there. And you hear something.
Yay, hearing things.
Yes. Everyone give me a wisdom save.
Woo, I can do this one, baby.
Yeah. I can't. I'm a dumb...
You're a paladin. You at least have some help.
Three.
Well, I have...
12?
Yeah.
13.
24.
21.
Go team cleric.
Okay.
22.
Wonderful. So not all make your save. But you hear... Incoherent.
Oh, do I need to do one for Shepherd as well?
You probably should.
You rolled better than me, 19.
You all hear incoherent babbles. Shepard starts to whine a little bit. It's very unnerving. You think you can make out words in a variety of languages, but you're not sure you want to make out the words. It's like, you ever try to think of something that you sort of partially remember, and it's like there's a name that's on the tip of your tongue, but you can't quite come up with it?
Yeah.
Every word you're hearing is like that, where you're sort of making it out, but not really.
Oh, crap.
It might be a laundry list. It might be something about your mother. You don't know.
My mom, she was a great old gal.
Crash, and, that was my backstory. I will kill people.
And there's no glowing moss in this particular part of the tunnel. You can sort of... There's some light that's seeping in from the stairs behind you. But the end of this tunnel is totally shrouded in darkness. And out of that darkness comes... exactly the image that Obame posted into Discord. Only more mouths attached to it.
Kill it with fire!
I release the arrow.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I let the arrow go.
Yeah, well, your arrow was already at the ready, so you can let it go, like, right away.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sweet. Okay. It has gone.
Aim for the eyes! Oh, wait.
That's 26 to hit.
That is you hit it more than once.
It's 9 points of piercing damage.
The arrow goes right through it, and it's kind of like in anime where you'll see an attack go through something and it leaves a hole in its wake. And then the hole sort of closes back up again.
Did it at least feel like it had?
Well, it left a hole because it hit it. It tore through this thing. It didn't dodge out of the way.
Okay.
You couldn't feel the impact, obviously, because this thing is a movement away from you at this point. But you kind of feel like... It left an impact. It noticed you. At this point, you should probably roll for initiative.
18.
Okay, Fenix is 18. Ponk?
Mm.
I'm sorry?
14.
Vex?
15.
Obame?
20.
Ari.
9.
Our healer's first.
Okay. Yeah,
never good when the healer goes first.
No.
Well, only on the first round. After that, he's healing everyone who got hit before. Obame, you're up.
I want to try and kind of stay 30 feet away from him so I can let go of Guiding Bolt.
Okay, at this point, you're about 25 feet away.
All right, back up just a little bit and throw cascading bolts.
Okay. You know what to do.
Uh, 16.
That is a hit.
Eleven damage radiant.
Noted. Next up is going to be Fenix.
I'm going to get this thing with my sword.
Okay, so you rush forward to strike it.
Yeah, 17. Wait, no, I got 20. Oh my god.
17 plus 8. You hit it.
Yeah. It's a giant creature made of meat and mouths. It's really hard to miss.
I would have gotten a 37.
That hits it maybe 6 times? no less than that, but still, give me some damage.
16 damage.
Noted. Next up is going to be... I'm going to say Vex is next, but you're sharing initiative with the mouth.
Okay.
Vex always shares initiative with things.
I know, alright.
Not always. This is really only the second time.
Okay, so how is this going to work then? Because if it hasn't gone, I get advantage on my first shot. So would I
if you're both going simultaneously, it technically has not gone when you fire your shot.
Okay, Hunter's Mark on it then. I just mark that spell off. And then I'll take a how close am I to it? Am I really close? Because if I am, I'm backing up.
The whole party was about 25 feet away.
Okay, I want to back up a bit more, so I'm just a little further back from Obain. And then take a shot. And that's a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
And that is... Oh, that is terrible. 4 plus 2, 6 plus another 3, that's 9 piercing. And then Shepherd's going to run up at it. And take a bite attack on him. That's a 16 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay. Take 4. That's 9 points of piercing damage and has to succeed a DC 11 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
It is immune to prone.
Okay, then. It doesn't matter.
Puddle.
How many points damage was that? 9?
It was 9 from me and then 9 from Shepherd.
Yes, I was double checking for Shepherd. Because I was checking immunities when I realized, oh, he's going to try to knock it prone. Is it? Yeah, that's what it's immune to. Okay. Alright, so now it's the Mouther's turn. And it is going to spit. It is going to spit at that strange creature that shot it with arrows. Twice. Alright, and I am going to need...
Dexterity?
Actually, no, it's not going to spit at you because you're too far away for it to spit at you.
Yeah, I'm like 35 feet away.
It's going to spit at Fenix. So I need a dexterity save from both Fenix and Shepherd.
Okay.
I can't do that.
It's a 15.
That's a 16.
You both pass. So it spits, and there is a blinding flash of light from the spittle as it just sort of bursts into flame briefly. But you're able to look away just in time so that it, like, you see a few spots, but otherwise you seem otherwise unaffected. On that note, it also swings out a pseudopod with several mouths attached to it at Fenix.
I would like to use a reaction to use one of my portent dice to turn its attack roll into an 8.
Well, then it's going to miss Fenix.
That's what I want it to do.
All right. So, swing and a miss.
Fenix, duck! What? Oh, goose!
Okay. Vex, Obaim,
hi,
and Ari, give me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, gosh. And
17.
16.
I'm not good at these.
Go, Team Cleric.
How did Team Cleric do?
Team Cleric did a 16.
Yay!
You all pass as a glob of spittle flies past you from behind and explodes in front of you.
Damn it!
Oh, there's two of them.
We got two, folks.
All right. Spin around.
And Vex backed up more than everyone else, specifically.
Yeah, I did.
So.
Is he adjacent to it now?
Does a 19 hit you?
It does.
How many hit points do you have?
36.
I need more D6s.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's better than I expected.
Better for me. Okay. Better for me.
Basically, a mouth hits you in the back and bites down through your leather.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Okay.
You're lucky it's not a rogue. It'd be a sneak attack.
Yeah, it would.
Okay, so next up is Punk. Oh, I forgot to have you roll a DCC because you were next to everyone else, too. So, give me a dexterity save.
6.
You're blind. Let me look up exactly what that means.
I have it.
As do I. It's one of the things that I have a DM screen for. So, blinded. A blinded creature can't see. Thank you, Captain Obvious. And automatically fails any ability check that requires sight. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage. However, if I remember correctly, you still have an inspiration point from Act 1 that you've never used. Mm-hmm. So you could, for one roll at least, get rid of the disadvantage.
But it's just for the one round, or?
It would be for one roll.
Oh.
Inspiration is something where you can only ever have one point of it at a time, and it's only good for one roll.
Are the kobolds with us still, or did we leave them behind?
No, we left them behind.
They're too scared to come through here.
Okay. He's going to be pretty pissed off now that he's blind. I think he's going to frenzy.
Ooh.
And attack.
Oh, damn. I'm glad I got my healing spells.
Chops.
Let's see.
There's definitely one in range because currently Vex is screaming about something on his back.
Yeah, I'm probably going to head... That's what I'm thinking is he would go towards whatever it'd be at his back. So he is going to...
It's a very manly scream, in case you were wondering.
And...
Oh, I didn't imagine it was.
Okay, so you hear a little girl.
It's a part elven, so...
That's just racist.
So he gets a bonus attack. Okay, so, yeah, just going to charge and start swinging it where he thinks the creature is.
Okay.
With, let's use a scimitar for a change.
Okay, and it's not too hard to get a basic idea for where this thing is because all of its mouths are still talking.
Okay.
So.
All right, so he can use that as a way to kind of guide himself.
Imagine a gnomish Batman.
Awesome. Somebody draw that, please. He got a 25 to hit.
That's with disadvantage? Or did you burn your inspiration for that?
I'm going to use the inspiration, yeah.
Okay, well, that is a hit and a half. Go ahead. Give me some damage. Right.
So he's going to use the scimitar. So
are you, Tom, are you raging?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually using frenzy.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see, this was four. Eight? No, six, excuse me.
Noted.
Okay. And then with my second attack, I'd like to hit again.
Okay.
So, same thing with the scimitar. Seven.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at the gnome, Batman, and Robin that have been posted to Discord now.
Thank you.
Eclipse, you are our only peanut gallery, but you are the best peanut gallery. And I value our friendship immensely. You said a seven. A seven is unfortunately not enough. But we are up to Ari now.
Oh, wait, I thought that was my second damage roll.
Oh, what was your I messed up then.
Okay.
What was your second to hit roll?
Oh, okay. I didn't do that. Let's try that again then. Sorry. I was already thinking damage, so...
But to be fair, this thing's armor class is low enough that I was assuming you would hit even with disadvantage.
Okay. Okay. 21 this time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let me do the damage again then.
Yeah, I've forgotten what number you gave.
It's 5 this time. So. So a 6
and 5.
I wish
I remember because I think the other number was higher. But oh well.
6. Yeah, the other one was 7. So.
Okay, your damage is noted. It is Ari's turn.
Okay.
I have Punk and Vex on the rear, Gibbering Mouther, and I have Fenix and our Wolfen friend on the front one, with Obame and I in the middle. Does that about sum up our current battle situation?
Pretty much. You and Obame are about 5 feet apart because everyone else moved in other directions, yes.
Okay. Is there any space behind either Gibbering Mouther that I could target a spell that would hit them but not yet hit my allies?
You don't know about the one that's in front of the party, but you came... The other one is behind you through the cavern that you went to with the T formation.
Okay.
So you could probably throw something back there. There's enough light coming up through from that stairwell that you can kind of see the floor at least.
Okay. Then we will target a Snorlax Snowball Swarm since that has a range of 90 feet. And we will make sure that its edges only attack the rear Gibbering Mouther. And otherwise I will stand pat.
All right.
So it must make a dexterity save. DC 14.
Nope.
Okay. Then it will take 3d6 cold damage. And here's where we find out if it has any kind of elemental resistances. All right.
In your frenzy, you managed to catch a snowflake on your tongue.
Awesome.
9 and 3 is 12.
Noted. Obame, it's your turn.
Let me get a... let me do a lesser restoration to Punk to clear his blindness.
All right.
Gracias, sir.
Punk, you have seen the light, and now you don't. Fenix, it's your turn.
I'm going to strike another one.
The one in front of you, I'm assuming.
Yes.
No, he bounces back and forth between them.
The one that I just hit, I'm going to hit.
They are within 30 feet, so technically he could do that.
Yeah, true, he could.
You know what? You really... Who is in...
Sorry?
Who's around me?
Right now, it's just Shepherd. You, the Gibbering Mouther, and Shepherd is alongside you.
So he's alongside me. I want to use Dragon Breath.
All right.
If Shepard's on the side, you should be okay.
Just don't kick my dog.
What's the save that the Gibbering Mouther needs to make for half damage?
Hold on, let me look at his character.
Dick.
Yes, but what number?
It is going to be Gold of Fire Dex save. Let's see, TC for 7, plus your Constitution modifier, plus your Proficiency bonus. So, Constitution modifier is 10, Proficiency bonus is...
Proficiency is 3 right now.
13.
And it's a Dex save, you said?
Correct.
Well, I rolled a 13 on the die, but the Gibbering Mouther has a Dex modifier of minus 1.
That fills me with some joy.
So, note to give, self. Give me the, sorry?
Oh, sorry. Note to self. Use Dex saves.
All right. So give me, I believe it's 2d6 damage.
2d6, yeah. I got 11.
11. You are getting some high rolls with your Dragon Breath attacks.
I don't know. It's like really easy because it's like floored dice. It's really an easier chance to get good rolls.
Okay, so this Gibbering Mouther in front of you is currently on fire, and it's sort of like the mouths are. It's a very chaotic thing. The mouths are constantly like forming and going back into itself, but it. Some of the mouths, as they form, sort of fall down to the ground. It's not looking altogether well. And that brings us to Vex.
Right. Okay. How far away is Shepard from the one that bit me?
The one that bit you?
Yeah.
I would say he's about... Let's see, you were 25 feet away from the one that was in front of you that the Shepherd is currently gnawing on. And then you backed up more than Obame, and he had backed up 5 feet. So Shepherd is maybe about 35 feet away.
Perfect. His movement's 40. Okay, so I want to take a shot at the one I've Hunter's Marked, which is the one in front of me. The one that's 35 feet away.
Okay. Wait, but don't you have one on your ass right now?
I do... But I'm hoping that this works because
technically it's the small of his back.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, if I try and move away, I'm going to get an attack of opportunity.
And no, that's true.
The fact that he said that 12 was a low roll, I'm not looking forward to that. So I'm going to attack the one that's ahead of us, hopefully killing it off and killing one at least. And that's a 24 to hit, 25 to hit.
Give me some damage.
Oh, those are good numbers. Okay, so that's a 6, and a 6 is 12.
Stop counting. It basically disintegrates into pieces. It's very much like something out of, like, Akira.
It would have been 15 piercing. and then Shepard's going to book it to the one that's on me.
Literally.
Literally. While I move my Hunter's Mark as a bonus action onto him, and Shepard's going to bite him.
All right. Give me an attack.
Because I'm here, he gets advantage. So that's 19 to hit.
That's a hit.
And that is... I'm trying to scroll down to Shepard's stats. 6... 5 is 11 points of piercing, and it obviously can't be knocked prone, so.
Okay, but Shepard is now riding on top of this thing because he still tried to do his takedown move. And it's kind of like if you've ever seen a small child trying to stand on top of a waterbed. If the waterbed was made of mouths.
Okay.
Which might not be the best thing in the world. Because now it's the mouth's turn. And it is going to attack Shepard.
Okay.
Does an 8 hit?
No.
So the mouse literally tries to attack something that's riding on top of it and misses.
Shepard actually has a better AC than I do, which is kind of annoying.
It sends out a pseudopod, but Shepard manages to uncannily dodge it. He's not a rogue, but you're thinking maybe. Maybe he's been hanging around old Bob a little too much. Or maybe he should hang around old Bob some more.
Old Bob's awesome, so he can hang around Shepard all he wants.
Okay. Punk, it is your turn.
He's just frenzying, so he's just going to continue to try hack away at it.
Okay.
But now you can see.
Yes, I can.
No more disadvantage.
19.
That's
to hit. All right. And I will do it right this time. 7 damage. And then he's going to use his bonus attack to hack away again. 13.
That's your hit?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your damage?
I wasn't sure if that would hit or not, so...
Yeah. Armor cost of 9, by the way.
Another 7.
Noted. Ari, it's your turn.
Okay. Let's see. Punk is walking away at it, Vex is shooting at it, and Shepard is trying to eat it, although I advise against that.
Shepard is riding it like one of those
pony.
Mechanical bulls you see at Western-themed restaurants.
I don't want to burn Shepard or Vex or Punk, and if Shepard's in the same square, I don't want to try snowballs again. So... I believe we will try magic missling the dark pile of goo.
Alrighty. And Fenix, I'm going to assume that the only reason he didn't mention you is because you're about 35 feet in the other direction right now.
Exactly.
if he ends up burning you...
That's impressive.
Critical fail.
Yeah, he's rolled a 1 on something, and you can't roll
just
a 1
just does a 360
and magic missile.
4, 2, and 3. So 2, 3, and 4. 7... 2 is 9.
I imagine this character is doing a 360. Yeah.
Okay.
Spin me around, baby.
This thing is literally bloody. And bloodied.
And what color is its blood? Because it's very unique.
I don't have that information in here. I'm going to assume it's red. Because it's an amalgamation of other creatures. The things it eats become part of it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
All right. So, that takes us back to Obame. And that brings us back to Dope!
Dope!
Let's go ahead and cast Guiding Bolt on it one more time. Or on this one. Actually, no. Let me do a half move. We'll get out the way a little bit. We'll say I'm about five feet away from it. So let's say about let's go about 25 yards or feet. I'm sorry, and then let's go ahead and cast Guiding Bolt on it.
All right. I swear, if he kills another thing with Guiding Bolt, that seems to be his modus operandi.
It's going to be 23.
23 is a hit.
Wish I had better dice.
What a wonderful, beautiful sound.
Oh my god, these dice were so horrible. It's a 46 and I rolled a 6.
Hilt.
Ah, it's horrible.
Oh, funny.
Okay, it's not looking good, but it's still moving. Fenix, it's your turn, and I have some bad news for you.
Yeah.
It is just over 30 feet away. So you
got something you can throw at it?
Actually, I do. I'm going to I'm gonna take my the bottle of Dwarvish.
Oh no.
I'm gonna throw it in the mouth.
Congratulations, you got the DM to panic.
Good idea.
You don't know what this can do.
Exactly.
Is this the dwarven ale that Vex?
Yes.
No. It's worse than dwarven ale.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes. I'm gonna throw that.
It is gnomish alcohol, made by someone who has been studying the ability to brew, and learned that skill from her mother. So it's second generation. So
I'm
you're gonna throw this thing.
Mouth.
All right.
I'm throwing it in the mouth.
Give me. Roll a d20 and add your dex.
Seventeen.
That's a hit.
What do I roll after that?
I'm going to roll something.
Okay.
This is not going to end well.
No.
For the best. Experiment.
When the DM laughs maniacally, it's not going to end well.
Oh,
ever.
You are correct, technically.
Okay.
So you throw this bottle, this half-filled bottle of Gear Grinder Special at the mouther, goes right in. You hear it shatter inside this thing. And then it fails its constitution save. Remember what happened when a dwarf drank this stuff and failed his constitution?
Oh god.
So it's still gibbering.
I have a bad feeling about this.
But the gibbers are slurred.
I love you guys.
It's sort of starting to deflate. Shepherd is having an easier time standing on top of it, still chewing at it frantically.
Oh no, Shepherd, stop chewing. You'll get the alcohol. Stop chewing.
Okay. Vex, it's your turn.
So I'm right next to it.
Yeah. You are next to a puddle of mouths.
But it's still alive.
It's kind of trying to get up, but not doing a very good job of it.
Right. Okay,
it seems to be saying that it loves you guys. You should hang out more. Why don't you do this more often?
Because I get a disadvantage on ranged attacks. I drop my bow and pull out my scimitar dagger. And
it's okay to drive.
And take a swing with the scimitar.
Give me an attack roll.
That's a 15 to hit.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss a pool of mouths.
That's 8 slashing.
It dissolves.
Okay.
Now it's just like a discolored reddish ooze on the ground.
Put them away and pick up the bow again.
Shepherd is trying to wipe his paws on a cleaner spot of ground, not happy.
Funny.
Ponk now has a level of exhaustion, according to the rules. Suffers one level of exhaustion. So I'm assuming he just drops down.
No, you actually have disadvantage on all checks.
Okay. Skill checks, yeah.
Okay.
And all ability checks.
Yeah, it doesn't affect your attack rolls yet.
Okay.
Yet.
But it seemed like these were the only two things that were in the area, because you now hear it silent except for your breathing.
We should
check out this cave more, see if there's any more of them laying around, see if they created any young.
Oh, you can give me a perception check if you'd like.
I will definitely
help
do
on that.
Are you giving me advantage?
Anyone who wants to do a perception check may. And I'm assuming at this point you're going to use your light cantrip also, because there's no other light source up here.
Yeah, I will pop that off.
15.
21.
I think I have 3. 16.
And Obeim posted in Discord that he got a 19. You do not find any other threats up here. You do find some kobold bones and clothing and a few pieces of string that look like they were part of necklaces and stuff. But you don't find any sign that there were more things up here other than these two mouthers.
Punk would like to kick the bones.
The bones get rolled.
I have a letter of respect. These kobolds didn't attack the people. They were just...
I got no respect for them.
Angry little gnome.
What?
You heard.
He's going to swing at him.
Give me an attack roll. What do you swing at him with?
The scimitar.
Ooh.
The plus okay.
one scimitar.
Wait, can you make an action roll while they're trying to fight?
We would have to go into full rolling initiative if you want to turn this into full combat.
No, I just want to like grab his like scimitar.
All right, well, if he wants to try to grab me, I'll if he wants to try to grab me before I swing at Akari, just let me know, because then I get what, a strength check?
I do.
For you, I think it would be athletics to escape. But
okay.
It would be an athletics check to grapple.
Yeah, let's do that first. All right, so I'm going to roll my athletics. 16.
Oh, my athletics. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He rolled a 1.
24.
That's not a 1.
Damn.
Okay, so the mighty gnome is grappled.
Get your hands off me. Don't tell me. Just get off me.
No, not until you calm down, buddy.
All right, I want to try to break out of it. Is that what? Another
yeah,
athletics?
Yeah, that's a skill check. You're going to disadvantage from your
exhaustion.
You're
going to have disadvantage, but I think to break out, is it athletics or acrobatics?
Yeah. It's acrobatics.
It's acrobatics.
You have to wiggle your way out.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I understand the rule-wise, but he's pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh, 15.
What do I have to roll?
You're doing an athletics check.
Oh my God, we're gonna have to sit here for a while.
What'd you roll? You're gonna have to actually tell us at some point.
Roll a 20.
Okay, so you are more grappled than you were before. You managed to wiggle into his grip. As opposed to out of it.
Boys, is this
it's
really
actually
necessary?
if you weren't fatigued and incredibly angry, it would actually be kind of comfortable. Which makes it worse, not better.
Boys, is this really necessary?
Bonk says nothing.
Are there any other exits out of this cave?
Both tunnels go off into the distance, and there's branches off and stuff. And you would have to explore for quite some time, probably, to know how
okay.
far they go.
I don't think we need to go any further, fellas. Why don't we return to the kobolds, tell them the mouths are destroyed, and let's go on our merry way.
Oh, and from the looks of it, from your search, from your perception rolls earlier, the mouthers are pretty much staying in this general area. So you've explored the distance that they seem to have been traveling over a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it up to your imagination how you can tell they were basically staying in this area.
Slime trails.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
Maybe fuel. Hit,
well, the slime doesn't come very far over here.
I'm going to hit, cast a Cure Wounds on Vex.
Save your spell slots. We'll need yours. We'll need them. Save your spell slots.
Oh, and by the way, Ponk, I am awarding you a point of inspiration because attacking your friends because you've had a really bad day is...
Completely something you would do.
Yeah, not good for the party, but definitely good role-playing. So
thank
you've
you.
You've got your inspiration back.
All right. Thank you.
A round of applause there for you, buddy.
I appreciate our friendship. Okay, so you go back to the kobolds?
Does anyone disagree with that plan?
I'd love to go back and see the kobolds.
Yeah,
of course you would.
Shepard,
that's good.
If he goes for any of the kobolds...
Oh, don't make me swing it. Oh.
He likes Shepard.
I love Shepard.
He loves Shepard.
All Shepard have to do is stand in front of you and then sort of get down on all fours and just sort of look up at you.
He's gonna, you know what? Tilted. He will probably just stand with Shepard at Shepard and try to calm down.
Oh, good idea. Shepard, be fluffy. Be adorable. Calm him down.
Well, he just glares at the kobolds. So.
Okay, so as you're heading back and you're going down the stairs, you do see one little lonely kobold sort of peeking around the corner at the bottom of the stairs. A very familiar-looking kobold.
Hi, Meepo.
Are they gone?
They shall be gone.
Yes, they're gone.
Really?
You're welcome to go back and look if you'd like.
She looks at Shepard. Did you kill them? Shepard just, smiles and has his tongue hanging on one side. And she squeals and runs off.
So about this friendship?
Oh, don't even get me started on it. If she wasn't a child, I swear to God.
So as she was going through her story, at some point one of you asked how old she was, and she said this many, and she held up four fingers.
Exactly. If she wasn't a child, I swear to God.
To be fair, if she was an adult, she would have held up six fingers.
then she's fair game.
We just come back in 2 years?
Tempted.
Ponk is...
Okay, so you return. The kobolds are already moving the barricades out of the way, so you don't have to climb over anything. You have the kobold equivalent of the original song at the end of Return of the Jedi. Not the new horrible one, but the old classic, the way it was meant to be. And there's mushroom stew for everyone. There's also three angry dwarves.
There was combat and they missed it.
They were, to be fair, they were... they've had a worse time than you've had.
Yeah.
They were in no
They probably had some levels of exhaustion.
You know, the fact that their entire city was just wiped out by angry kobolds, that probably doesn't help either.
Weren't they imprisoned longer than we were?
They were, but mushroom stew is not the best thing for a dwarf to eat to recover. They need a bit more protein. And more alcohol.
Lots more.
And the last of the alcohol was thrown into a gibbering mouther.
Yeah, we've already established what the alcohol does to even dwarfs.
I think we should go back and get a couple more bottles.
Yeah, that stuff's really handy, actually.
Yeah.
To be honest, I am very pleased that Fenix remembered he had that bottle. I was wondering if that was going to stay in your inventory forever or until you decided to use it as a practical joke. I am so proud of it.
Yeah, we got grenades now.
Where do we find that alcohol?
Is that one of the sessions I missed? Crazy gnome domestic couple.
No, it was
not a domestic couple anymore. She launched her ex-boyfriend towards the mountains.
Oh yeah, that poor gnome. Oh god.
Look, I have a handy haversack, so we can stick a quantity of inside there.
I have no problems going back to get some if we can find the place.
Oh yeah, we know where it is.
I'm betting Vex could find it.
You don't know where you are, though.
Once we get out of here, I can figure out where we are.
I figure Vex will figure out where we are in about 5 seconds.
Revised Ranger, yeah.
All right. So what do you do?
Well, Meepo.
Yeah.
I want to leave.
Huh. How did we get out of this place?
Over there. She points to the other tunnel that you could see from when you were in the cages.
Okay. Are there any other dwarfs in this area that we should be taking back to their homes?
I don't know. The clans don't really talk to each other too much.
I figured. What's the name of your clan?
Yeah.
Chipped Claw.
Chipped Claw.
You have a symbol or something that helps identify you to others?
Just so if we come across any other Chipped Claw members, we know it's them and to not fend ourselves if, you know.
She holds out her hand and you see that her claws have, it's like someone took a nail file to them in a parallel line going across, not the opposable thumb, but all the others.
Okay.
It's not very deep, but it's noticeable.
Yeah, but it's not noticeable unless you make a close examination.
Yeah, it's not noticeable at a glance, so it's going to be a problem.
So kill them all and let their god sort them out.
Their god can't do that. He's no, seriously, their god can't do that because he's currently trapped in a maze thanks to the god of the gnomes.
Oh, well.
Sucks to be them, right?
It's why you don't see kobold clerics very often.
Okay. All right.
Let's just take the tunnel and get out of here.
Where are you going?
Away.
We have other responsibilities, Meepo.
Others need our help.
But what about the Great One? Are you going too?
All we've got in his capable hands.
You could stay and be their god.
Or we can take them with us.
No,
they don't like sunlight.
No.
Kobolds do not like sunlight.
No, that's
prepare
bad.
A roll for combat.
No, that is very bad.
They're not.
I'm just picturing, like, instead of running into combat, Fenix is just like laying prone on top of a whole bunch of kobolds. They're just holding him up, and they sort of walk him towards combat, while one of them feeds him grapes.
Guys, can we keep them?
No.
Look,
you can visit them periodically, but we need to get out of here.
You already have a pet, remember? That you don't take care of.
Oh, yes!
And now he remembers Justice.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, he remembered to untie Justice before.
He did.
Yes.
We need to make sure, we need to put Meepo in charge of this. Make her the new chief.
In fairness, she's 4.
Yeah, she's a child. They're never going to follow her.
No.
I don't care.
No. Meepo, you know what I'm going to do? Right.
Meepo, where's your father? The one that you're calling your father.
She points towards the whirlpool.
Right.
The straw man threw the pieces over there.
Right.
Let the lost boys take care of themselves. I'm leaving.
Okay, can I say loudly and draconic so that all the kobolds in the area can hear me?
I'm going to follow Pong to make sure he doesn't get in trouble.
By the way, I will say as part of the the survival check you made previously. Remember that, because I think I said this before too, kobold clans, when they need a new chieftain, they just pick whoever's the oldest, because they assume if they lived a while, they've got enough experience to actually help everyone else live a while too.
That's what I was going to ask in Draconic. Who here is the oldest? Who is the new chieftain?
They look around. One of them raises a hand. Another one next to him raises a hand. The first one slaps the other one, raises his hand again.
Right. You, come here.
He comes over.
What's your name?
Dang it.
Oh, yeah. You should be prepared for this.
Bongo, no, that's what he says. That's what he says. He says,
oh, your name's Dang It. Dang It. Okay. We'll go with it. Okay. Dang it.
My brother's name is Jesus Christ.
Way back when in a game, my friend Dave played a kobold and his name was Dag Nabbit. Because that's what everybody called him. Every time there was something went wrong. Dag Nabbit! Yes, sir.
So there is. I was listening to an interview on Dragon Talk podcast, and they were. I forget which podcast or which stream it is, but they were talking about their characters, and one of the characters was literally named Carl with a K. His first name was Carl. His last name was with a K.
Oh, God.
And
I think I've seen that story somewhere.
And with a K was spelled with a C.
Of course it was. Okay, dang it. You're the oldest. You're the new chieftain. It's your responsibility to keep these people safe. Keep them in check. Make sure your tribe doesn't attack dwarves like the others have, to not be dark, to try and keep a peace. Are you up for that?
Dang it looks at you. He was listening intently. He then turns and looks over at Fenix.
Alright, I walk up and say, I'll tell him he's the new leader. And I'll tell him that if any of these kobolds do anything poorly, like kill another kobold, throw them in the wormhole.
The whirlpool.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's a whirlpool, not a wormhole.
Whirlpool.
One of them takes you to another reality.
Or another planet if it's Stargate.
Be dominant. That's what I'll tell the thing.
He nods vigorously.
I just look over at Fenix and say, that was the exact opposite of what I said.
I'll tell Vex, these things are kobolds. They're way different from us.
To be fair, remember... Yeah, Vex knows what kobolds are. Fenix has no idea other than the fact that they're worshipping him.
Yeah, so I'm... Yeah.
He wants them to act like dragons.
He's basically raising them to be dragonborn now. They're all little mini dragonborn.
You realize that you're probably going to end up with Husan being attacked more just from these guys now. I'm saying that to Fenix.
Oh, they won't attack Husan anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, when we were trying to get food from Husan, that's when the kobold inventors were rigging it to blow up.
Did we know it was going to blow up? Have I forgotten that?
Did it blow up?
By now, it probably has.
Wonderful.
The dwarves are able to relate to you that while they didn't know everything was getting rigged to explode, that would explain a few things. The initial attack was done with vials, glass vials full of some type of volatile liquid that did explode.
Mm-hmm.
Chain reaction, boom, boom, boom.
And they did encounter one kobold in particular that was dressed funny, that was basically making a chandelier out of these things.
Mm.
And Ponk and Fenix, the description of these vials sounds very familiar to you.
Ponk walked away, so...
Wait, is it the one that I threw?
Yeah, but Ponk would recognize it also. Oh, but well, he walked away from this conversation, okay.
Actually, sort of.
I threw it to a dragon, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm
following Ponk to make sure it doesn't get in trouble.
Meepo, how far from the surface are we, and how far away are we from Husong?
What's the surface?
Never mind, honey.
It's good Ponk isn't there. He probably would have slapped her by now.
Never mind, honey.
Are you trying to find more dwarves?
Yes, we're trying to find more dwarves and to...
Oh, well, they have a tunnel not far from here.
Okay. Can you point us in that direction?
I can show you.
That works. Shepherd, please go find Ponk. You have your ways with him. Bring him back.
Okay, so my cat just tried to knock my dice tray onto my keyboard. That's fun.
Damn cat.
So Ponk and Ari, wherever you are, basically you hear thum, 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 and suddenly the shepherd's there.
Pads shepherd, into the room.
Shepherd picks up Ponk by his collar and goes, thum, 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 runs back.
Does
Ponk,
he fight
you
that?
Are a stick.
Ponk is not happy.
Don't no, snooze that history.
Shepherd sits down in front of Vex and wags his tail.
Not what I intended.
Sorry, we'll Shepherd, follow along.
Shep, I love you. But if you ever do that again, I'm going to hit you.
Shep, I love you, but like, if you ever do that again, I'm going to let him hit you. Yeah, I love you, but if you ever do that again, I'm going to let him hit you. Don't do that to people. Sticks, yes, not people.
Shepherd's tail still wags, but sort of like that half wag of, I did this thing for you, but you seem kind of upset.
I don't get it.
So I'm kind of happy that I did this thing for you, but Squirrel. I don't know why you're upset.
And this is why I have speak with animals, and then I explain this to him so he can understand it.
Yeah, that's the reaction after you explain it.
Okay.
Oh. All right. What?
We're leaving.
All right. Let's go.
You were going in the wrong direction.
Okay. So you're going to have Meepo lead you to the Dwarven Tunnels?
Please do.
Okay. Meepo leads the way. It turns out that Ponk was going in the right direction.
Of course he was. Of course he was.
The air wasn't quite as stale this way.
It smelled less like cobalt dung and mushrooms. The Dwarven Tunnels are not nearly as well lit.
I'm assuming the dwarves are with us as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Matter of fact, once you get to the tunnels, the dwarves recognize where they are. The kobold tunnel sort of breaks through the wall at one part, and it goes from rough-hewn cavern to very well-maintained tunnel with masonry on both sides and torch sconces, if I can speak properly this late at night. The torches have burned down and they're not there anymore. But it looks like up until recently, this area was very well maintained. And there's markers that are also ensconced in this tunnel in regular intervals to say what settlements are in what direction and how far you have to go. Anyone who can read Dwarvish can see that maybe about half a day's travel in one direction would lead you to Husan. These markers are fairly recently carved, maybe only about 2 or 3 years ago. And there's also markers that point towards ore strike in this area.
Wait, what?
Ore strike was the other town.
Yeah, but that's like in Coombridge.
Well, we aren't that far away from Coombridge, are we? Oh.
Ari and Fenix, give me a history check.
I'm going to roll us and I got to be okay. It's not exactly a 20, it's a 19 plus 1.
So it's 13 and 3, 16.
Okay. So Ari remembers that dwarves make a lot of tunnels. Fenix.
The wrong one.
Fenix got, you actually did pretty well. They dwarves have tunnels all over Circulus. And they've been making tunnels for literally thousands of years. Fenix remembers that these tunnels were key to the uprising that destroyed the original empire, because these tunnels were used to move entire armies from one location to another without being seen. They were done totally in secret, hidden from the empire over thousands of years, throughout the period of time when dwarves were supposed to be enslaved by the empire. So it's natural that there would be tunnels that lead to pretty much every dwarven settlement ever.
This is perfect. We can go straight to Orstrike.
So we can just follow the deep roads there?
We can go to Orstrike and tell them what's happened, that it's safe to open their gates.
And you happen to have a dwarven stonemason with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who will know how to get that thing open. The doorways.
Perfect. Well, obviously not perfect that Husson's been wiped out, but yeah. Other than that, it's pretty perfect.
And we found out who did it and how. So, I mean, we sort of cleared up this whole mystery.
And I figured out how to use that door shell.
Yeah, but there's still no real why.
Well, I think that Scarecrow has something to do with the why.
Yeah, but we don't know his motives. We just know that he, well,
he's acting under someone's orders. He's a creator.
Yeah, we don't know who the creator was. We don't know who was going on. I think
there's still more questions than answers.
Yeah, but we have some answers at least as far as Gorsgate and Husson is concerned.
Yeah.
Now we got to go to Orstrike and kind of deliver
bad news.
What we know. Yeah, pretty much.
Bad news and good news. Bad news, your dwarven settlement of Huzon has been wiped out, but the war's over, you can come out now.
And we have dwarves here.
These dwarves we found, they were from Huzon, or were they from Gorsgate?
The two younger ones, I honestly don't know, because I don't know their backstories. But the older one with the gray beard... Montgomery. Yeah, he was one of the stonemasons that helped found Husson in the first place.
Okay.
All right, so we want to go to Orstrike. Are you okay, Montgomery, going to Orstrike with us?
As long as my knee doesn't give out, I'm up for it.
How many... Now, the signpost, for lack of a better word, how many days did it say Orstrike was?
I should think about this, actually. You could probably make it in 2 days if Montgomery doesn't slow you down.
What are all the names of the dwarves?
It's Montgomery...
Montgomery,
and
Bertha, and Vassal.
Yeah.
Sorry. So Vassal, Bertha, and Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Oh, those were the two guys who were in that other, like, quick campaign thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess these guys are probably suffering from some levels of exhaustion.
They don't look like they're in the best shape. Yeah. They got some rest, but they've had a really bad time. They're ready for a vacation.
Would we be better off resting here with the kobolds, or at least nearby in maybe these dwarven tunnels?
You get the sense that these dwarves do not want to be anywhere near any kobold tunnels ever again.
Yeah, I'd say we move.
I'm just offering it because if they're, well, I don't want them to die from exerting themselves too hard.
As you offer this to them, they're already walking down the tunnel.
All right.
I gave him a chance. It's a coin toss between who's walking away faster, Ponk or the dwarves.
Yeah.
They might all be walking arm in arm like people from The Wizard of Oz. except Ponk would probably smack anyone who tried to do that.
Yes, anyone who tried to skip.
He's not like being touched.
Especially when I bear hugged him to get him off.
I'm simply trying to be aware of their injuries, and hopefully they won't.
Right now, it's more of a mental fatigue than anything else.
Okay.
Anything physical, I'll take care of if need be.
That's all I wanted to worry about. You know, I don't want them dying on the way, especially the old guy.
We'll walk for a couple hours, and then we'll take a rest.
Okay. So, with frequent rests, you managed to get all the way to Orstripe without incident. This end is also sealed up, and Montgomery makes a big to-do about you going back down the tunnel a ways until you're out of eyesight, because there are certain secrets that are not meant for non-stonemasons, whether or not they're dwarves.
How about Beneltcasters?
No. You're not a stonemason.
That's right.
All due respect, sir.
Okay. I will stand by it.
So you hear some thumps, some grinding, some stone moving against stone. For some reason, you think you hear a chicken. maybe it was just a trick of like one loose piece of grit getting ground in a bit more, but it almost sounded like it was a chicken. It may or may not have come from Ponk's backpack, actually, but you're not entirely sure. And then you hear Montgomery say, "All right, let's go."
Okay, we're forward.
All right,
let's do this. Okay.
So you walk in, the dwarves leading the way, to see a bunch of armored dwarves with shields and what looks like catapults that are bolted to the sides of the tunnel as opposed to sitting on the tunnel floor. They're very small. They would have to be inside a tunnel, but there's no mistaking how they're meant to work. Fortunately, Montgomery is able to explain to the dwarves that you're not, in fact, monsters. He looks over at the party, and then he looks back and says, "Well, most of them." And you are tentatively welcomed in, because dwarves in general don't really like seeing outsiders in their settlements. But they are very happy to hear that pretty much the entire undead curse is over. And they can open up, and there's much rejoicing. Yay.
Don't make so.
And much dwarven ale.
Yay!
Definitely take one of those.
And they let you out the other side, so you are back in Coombridge Valley. They are very grateful for you bringing three of their brethren, but not grateful enough to let you spend the night. or go anywhere unsupervised.
Dude.
You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.
Pretty much. So, you are at this point outside Orstrike. It's maybe about a half hour before dawn. You don't really know how long you were underground at all. But you are maybe 2 days' walk from Coomeridge Keep.
Isn't there a town between here and Coomeridge?
There was, but it was pretty much wiped out by the undead.
Oh, right. Okay.
Its citizens were the ones that were attacking the town.
Yeah. I keep forgetting how small it is in here.
I don't know how we managed it, but we managed to do that without any of us dying, and I'm kind of impressed.
You also don't have any horses anymore, and Fiddle Punch is waiting for you in an inn.
Oh, no.
But he's waiting at Coomeridge, right?
No, he's waiting with the gnomes.
Yeah, there's only one gnome there besides
him. Oh, yeah, there's only one gnome there.
But he's waiting for you in the Blast Radius Inn to come back.
Which we will at some point, because we have other stuff there.
Isn't that the other direction, though, from... Well,
it's past Gore's Gate.
Yeah. Wait, it's... Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, but we're at...
Coomeridge.
No. We're at the outside Orstrike.
Which is near Coomeridge on the other side of Gore's Gate.
Yeah, Orstrike is the dwarven settlement that's in Coomeridge.
Okay.
We are quite a while away from him. At least, maybe five days?
Okay. So, like, Gore's Gate is north of where we came in from, I'm guessing, or something, right?
Gore's Gate is south from you.
Southwest,
exactly.
Okay. We need to go to Coomeridge anyway to let them know the Orstrike is open again.
Yeah, but from Coomeridge, how far away is the Blast Radius Inn?
Maybe about 3 days if you have a horse.
Well, then let's go to Coomeridge to break the news and get horses.
Like, hey, we're
more
back.
Horses.
You know those horses you gave us last time? Do we have a few more?
Essentially, that's what's going to happen, apparently. Oh, God.
Yeah, but we'll come back with all the others.
Will we, though?
That's what you said last time.
Will we, though? I feel like we should master more horses.
I'm okay with hoofing it, honestly. I mean, a fresh walk in the countryside? Good for the lungs.
Can I get some dwarvish ale?
You had a wonderful party. You're feeling just a little tipsy.
But they're not letting us take any home to Mama.
No.
I can't just put it in a little box.
No.
No samples. No freebies.
It's like when you go to a smorgasbord, that it's an all-you-can-eat thing, but you're not allowed to take any food with you.
What if I paid him a little extra?
Let's head to Coomeridge.
All right, and you will be heading to Coomeridge Keep next week.
Okay. Good stuff.
I did the good thing of throwing a Dwarvish ale into a...
No, it wasn't Dwarvish.
It was gnomish,
and it wasn't an ale. It was much more powerful.
It was essentially gasoline.
So gnomish bullcrap potion.
Gasoline.
Chaos magic.
So gasoline.
More or less.
Liquefied chaos magic.
Okay, so on that note, I think it is time for me to go to bed. Thank you all. Links to the social media and websites for everyone who has those things will be in the show notes. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.